Ashrei. The David Maskil. Oh, here's the first time we have this word. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Yabid Baroi. Here is the first time we have the word Maskil. Maskil le David. Maskil le Shlomo. The word Maskil is in modern Hebrew or in contemporary times. The word Maskil does not have a good connotation. It represents what's called the Haskalah, the enlightenment, and it really represents people. Okay, people who unfortunately who are not ma'aminim in the Torah in Torah Shebal Peh and have deviated from tradition. The word maskilin, the maskilin prior to World War II and even World War I caused a great this group of people who identified before World War. Right. Yeah, it was a whole thing. I don't know the history. And it started with very small changes, but it's translated as the Enlightenment. And Rachman al-Islam did enormous damage to Klal Yisrael. Beyond which the word maskil today in modern the way it colloquially, maybe let's really close the door here. They're having classes in English as a second language. Right, so the word maskil today, modern, our contemporary usage is not a very popular word. And the damage goes on ad hayom hazeh. Some will argue the reason why many Hasidim do not learn Tanakh. They for some reason they do not learn Tanakh is because of the damage of the maskilim. And even though today the maskilim are gone, they're long gone. I don't know, for some reason it lingers on this tradition of distancing oneself from topics that they excelled in, they were experts in. Is that really true? It's not the only reason why Hasidim they don't learn Tanakh. It's not the only reason. Other reasons because they don't. It's very frightening stuff to learn Tanakh. It's all about Avodah Zarah, Gil Yarayish, Shvich Hastamim. A lot of the stories are violent stories, and unless you really have a good teacher to really understand the depth of what it means, it can send the wrong message. Okay, I don't know to what degree that reason is maybe because
whatever the Sionim did,
okay, that's the maskilim, right? That was the maskilim, right? So that's the old reason, but that's already gone because the Sionim today they're not learning Tanakh, so that whole reason is completely gone. The Tzionim today don't learn Nach. They don't learn Nach. The Tzionim are religious today. I mean, talking about the old, not the religious Tzionim. I'm talking about those people. The whole Haskalah movement is outdated. So why then don't Hasidim return and embrace the study of Tanakh? I don't know. The tradition. It's ridiculous to say that. You want to say the other reason is because it's a violent study. It's a study of violence. And it's not for everyone, not for the faint of heart to learn about revenge and David with Bathsheba and Avodah Zarah, more Avodah Zarah. For some reason, I don't know, it's not so clear. I told you this story, I was very, very disturbed. I always wondered, I used to take, in the good old days, the Dir Shul exams. I try still to take some of them. They have exams on almost every topic. Every topic is a Haredi organization. Very Haredi. It's really more of a Hasidish organization. It evolved into a Hasidish organization. It was really geared at the Litvaks, but the Litvaks didn't take to it to all that much. They did to a degree, and it turned out that a lot of the Hasidim embraced Dirshu. This is David Hofstetter. He spends millions of dollars on this, and they have exams in almost every topic. They have exams in Daf Yomi. Their exam, really good exams, unbelievable how this works, and Mishnah Brewer. And then they have exams in Musa, Chavis Halavavis, and all these other interesting Svarim, and exams in Iyun, in learning the Seder Halimut of learning the Iyun, Sugyas, and different things. In every topic they have, in the Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, There's only one topic they don't have. There is no exams for Nach, Nevi'im, and Kisuvim. So someone, I always wondered why not. So someone told me that no, David Hofstadter, who pays for the whole thing out of his own pocket, this whole thing. Someone asked him, who lives in Canada, why are there no exams in Tanakh? So he said, Gesunde Heit, 100%. Absolutely, but I don't do anything on my own. I'm a balabas, and everything I do is done with the haskama of the Gedolei Yisrael. So just go, there was a Torah Masorah convention, just go and get for me, go to the Gedolei Yisrael, the Rosh Yeshivas, and get for me a haskama. I think it's three signatures of Gedolei Yisrael that are masculine, which have b'chinas on Tanakh, and we'll add it to the roster. So that all our exams I'll pay the people, whatever, to go make the exams, to administer the exam. This is worldwide. This is, of course, the whole, you got to go take an exam to appreciate how sophisticated this network is. And so this person went. He's a very big Tanakh person, a real Haredi, a very big Tanakh person. And he went to the Torah Masorah Convention. He got in a heartbeat, he got all the signatures from all the Rashi Yeshivas that they should give exams on Tanakh. Comes back to Canada to David Hofstadter, he shows him the old masculine. So he looks and he says, you have to get me at least, these are all the Litvisha, but you gotta get me at least one signature from the Hasidisha world. One of the Rebbes. Get me a signature from one of the Satmar Rebbes, get me a signature from the Munkacher Rebbe, a signature from one of the Bubba Rebbes. Get me a signature from at least one signature from the Gedolim of the Hasidim. So this person went shopping. Not one Rebbe wanted a sign. Not one Rebbe wanted to sign on this letter that they should add to this long list of topics of exams which are given worldwide. Worldwide, right over here, there are two testing sites. Okay, last week was the Bechina, last Sunday was the last. Can you imagine? And none of the Hasidisha rabbis wanted to sign. Would you believe that? And I guess he feels compelled to get their signatures because, I don't know if you know what's going on, a lot of the Litvisha Olam is not so excited about Dirshu in general, okay, because of different political, whatever it is. So he basically became, the ones that embrace him is more Hasidish world. He's not looking to antagonize them because a lot of the people that are participants in this program have become more of the Hasidish world and they don't want. And they do not want there should be a course of study to be tested on Tanakh. To me, I have no understanding of this. It's beyond my understanding of why that is so. Why that is so? Well, someone actually did. Someone did not Chumash Rashi. Chumash Rashi is a very, very good example of Chumash Rashi.
Just like yeshivas have been reluctant to teach
Tanakh. No, not really. Not in the Litvish yeshivas. I wouldn't say that. In the Litvish yeshivas, you have a good. We always had throughout the entire where I went. I can't tell other yeshivas. I went to Chaim Berlin. We had Tanakh in every grade. There was Tanakh, and it all depended who the Rebbe was. So we had some phenomenally good Rebbeim. It was like a whole course. And we had some of them that are not so great. And the ones that were very...
High school boys know anything about that?
When I went, we had every single grade. The girls, you should know, the girls don't know as much as they say they...
I haven't taken a sample. Maybe my granddaughter
doesn't. Okay, so I don't know, but okay, we're getting sidetracked, but the word maskil... When you say the word maskil, people get frightened, because the movement of the maskilim, they were individuals who were experts in Hebrew grammar, experts in Tanakh. This was where they excelled, and unfortunately, they used this as a wedge, their knowledge of Tanakh as a wedge, to weaken, and to do enormous damage to the Mesorah. They did enormous damage to the Mesorah. And the proof is, what's the proof? Because now it's been over 100 years. Where are they? Those people who espoused and promoted their agenda They're not, many of them are not even Jewish today. Many of them intermarried. Many of them completely left the fold. So obviously, something is wrong. Obviously, we got a problem. So the word maskil, unfortunately, has a very negative connotation. But in Tanakh, this could be nothing. Yeah.
That's the name of my Rebbe. It's hard.
Maskil lishlomo.
Yeah.
In Tanakh, the word maskil haskel v'yadoa osi. Okay, it's the last pasuk we read on Tisha B'Av. Al yishalel chacham b'chachmaso. Al yishalel gibor b'gvuroso. Al yishalel asher b'ashray. Ki im b'zois yishalel hamishalel. Haskel v'yadoya osi. Be wise and know and understand Hashem. Okay, so the word in the Tanakh is sublime. It represents the holiest sacred concept of understanding Hashem. You say in Davin, Chaneinu Miyadchadeya Bina V'Haskel. That's right. Chochma Deo Bina Das. They don't say the word Haskel.
They took it out.
Whatever. It's a sublime word. It's one of the most sublime words of true understanding of Hashem, and it's just very ironic. It's very ironic how this word has become represents a movement in Jewish history that has done enormous damage to the Messiah. Reform, conservatism, and the like are all part of the umbrella of what is rooted in the movement of the Haskalah. And it's a term that...
Now the Jewish press had a whole feature on what happened to Herzl's children.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, either they schmocked up or they committed suicide.
Right. It's true. Right. But you know something? I wouldn't go there because... Look, Rachmana Litzlan, there are people that are from the Gedolei Yisrael. What happened to their children? Okay, so you know it's not a nice thing to go and Moshe Rabbeinu's grandchildren were janitors in a church, or were shamashim in a church, pesel micha. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gadol Hadar, the person who went to Shemayim to bring down the Torah, lechem leyachalti mayim leishosisi, Moshe emes v'teras emes, his grandchildren were shamashim. In a church in Pesel Micha, I mean, what's going on here? So never ever go down that path. You never go down the path of, oh, look at his children and grandchildren. People like to do that. They like to go say, oh, you see this? Look at their children and grandchildren. When you look at a movement, it's a very big difference when you differentiate between the prat and the klal. So you're dealing with the haskalah, the movement of the haskalah. What happened to the people who embraced in the big picture?
It's not as important about individuals, but about the movement long gone,
but now he's a long gone.
Even the ones that you mentioned that it's caused are in their last gasp.
When you talk about the movement and what it evolved into, okay, today, Rachman Lassan, the Eretz Yisrael, there's a segment of the population.
Yeah,
that's anti-religious.
Yes,
they are products of the Haskalah movement.
They're a dying minority.
Okay, but fine, whatever it is. We don't want them to die. We want them to do tshuva, chayzeh b'tshuva. But to talk about an individual, that you can't, it's not nice. You can't talk about it, that's off limits. Talking about Yechidim, to go talk about Herzl, to go talk about Ben Gurion, talk about no, talk about Yechidim, you can't go there. That's not the right thing. Life is very complicated, and no one knows what the future brings as a Yachid. So we don't go there. Look, it says about Haman, B'nei Banav Shel Haman, Lamdu Torah B'bnei Barak. And Theodor Herzl, Rachmana Litzlan, look what it's just horrific what became of his children. How could it be? Theodor Herzl, you can't go tell me it was worse than Adolf Hitler. Cannot, no way, under no condition. And in fact, there are different indications that Theodor Herzl was a very complicated person. Don't just, you know, one big brush. I told you I had a big fight with my cousin. My cousin, he wrote the history of my great-grandfather, the Beis Yitzchak. So Theodor Herzl wrote that he has two enemies. He has two enemies. He has the Beis Yitzchak, the Lublinerov. His two greatest enemies are my great-great-grandfather, the Beis Yitzchak, and the Tsar Sholom Shel Belz. He wrote a biography in German, and it was recently translated. Theodor Herzl was recently found, I don't know how many years ago. So my cousin, who's a genius, I have a cousin, Eretz Yisrael, he's a Meshunadik in line, he has a library, a whole Gantz Mice he has, and he basically wrote a book about the base. It was never published. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal. He gave me the PDF. He never published it. I don't know why not. He never published it, but it's got a thick book. And he quotes here in a footnote, this biography. And he writes, Theodor Herzl, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro. So I said to him, what do you have to write, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro? What do you have to write? It is what it is. You don't have to go write. What do you need to write? No, he's a Haredi. He's a real Haredi Israeli, typical. You know, the Kanoim. What do you have to write? Just write. Theodor Herzl. What do you need to get yourself involved in this? Whatever a person is, it is what it is. Whatever it is, Kanoi, you coming to be? It's going to be Mekane Kines Hashem. You know, not so simple. All right, there's a lot to be said about that, but let's go further. We're going to the topic of maskilim. It's a very powerful word. Choneinu mi'itcha deya bina v'haskel. Haskel v'yodoya oisi. There's nothing more sublime than this concept called haskel. And for some reason, as always happens, the more sublime something is, the more, unfortunately, it becomes defiled. It becomes defiled. Like one of my pet peeves is the word chashmal. I think I personally believe it's the greatest disgrace to the modern Hebrew language, the word chashmal. Chashmal is means electricity. The word chashmal in Sefer Yechezkel, if you read about on the night of Shavuos, the first day of Shavuos, represents the most sublime, there's no translation even. It represents the Shechina. It represents the most sublime appreciation of the Maaseh Merkava and the Shechina. How can you take a word that's like Mamish Yud Kei Vav Kei, and use it for something mundane just because it's not tangible? So you take Chashmal, the Shechina is not tangible, and you want to go borrow that concept that we describe electricity? Are you out of your mind? You got to be Mamish out of your mind. How do they let them get away with this? It's a done deal. Chashmal. It means electricity. But to go take it from Tanakh, from Yechezkel, it's the ultimate insensitivity to do that. And, you know, that's the way the world goes. Zeh l'umazeh. The greater something is, the Yetzirah, the Koyach HaTumah, is fighting mamish zeh l'umazeh. And here you have the same thing. The word maskil is a word that is Le'ela, le'ela, in Tanakh of what it represents. Haskel v'yadoya oisi. That's what Yirmiyah says. That's the final parting words of Tisha B'Av. You read the Haftorah. Haftorah of Tisha B'Av is mamish. You know, you read the Haftorah in the morning, and that's kinnis. I mean, there's the kinnis of Eicha, and there's the kinnis of the Haftorah of Sefer Yirmiyah. Haskel v'yadoya oisi, to understand Hashem, and it became the label of a movement of apikorsin, mamish apikorsin. You go mamish mikotze el akotze. It's a very sad reality. And the Yetzirah, unfortunately, wherever there's kedusha, that's where the Yetzirah, you know, applies itself the most. Enough said. L'David maskil, for David maskil, a composition which involves the depth of understanding of Hashem. Ashrei, and what is that? What's the statement? Ashrei, praiseworthy. Nisui, pesha. A person who is lifted up from sin. A person that's elevated. We'll see how we need a more precise translation. Over here in the Mitzvah Stavri, the word Nisui means forgiven. That's a very difficult parish. Where does the word Nisui come to the word for Mechila, Kapara? We have many different vocabulary words to decipher, to describe forgiveness. We ordinarily use the word Kapara.
No say
Ovon. No say Ovon. Very good. Right. Very yes. good. And
but
Mordechai is coming to mention. No say Ovon Hashem. He carries. So, what does it mean in that context? You have to study the Yud Gimel. One of the hardest things to appreciate is the Yud Gimel of Sarachman. Hashem is no say Ovon. He carries away sin. He lifts up the sin that's hovering upon the person.
Inyan so the person
becomes Nesui.
If Hashem
takes away, right?
It's what you move from him.
When Hashem removes some sin, from the perspective of man, the sin has been lifted. He's removed. Mitzudai Siyoin says, Inyan Mechila, Kmo Kol Kol Tiso Ovoin. All those in that passage have been forgiven from sin. And again, the word he said literally means to lift, to carry away. Hashem carries away the sin, and thus...
Which is a burden on the sinner.
It's a burden on the sinner. That's very good. And Machal would say...
A scale, you know, the sins...
Weight.
The sins are on one
sin
side.
Sin has weight.
The mitzvahs are on the other side. No say Ovel, he'll lift up the Ovel, take it away.
Hashem lifts the side of the scale that has...
lift the Ovel out of the scale.
You take it away, and then the mela, the mitzvahs are pull down the scale to the favor of man. Okay, very good. Let's see the pasuk. Kisui chato'a, his sin is covered. Two different descriptions of sin. That's going to be the theme of this mizmar. A person whose sin is forgiven, and his pesha. There are two different terms here. There's pesha and there's chato'a. Obviously, pesha means a sin that's done benezit. It was done willingly. It was done out of rebellion. And a chato'ah connotes a sin that was done by accident. Okay? Inadvertent. And there's another word, avoin. Okay, what is avoin? Avoin is it's done willingly, but it's not done out of rebellion. Okay? Ordinarily, what? Chet pesha avoin. I'm sorry? So there are three words. There's pesha.
Avon is the highest one.
Okay, so I think it depends on the context. Sometimes, you're right. Sometimes there are two different types. There are two different types of sins that are done by maze. One is done, a person is fully aware that it's forbidden, but I don't care. I want to do it anyway because I want to do it, either because I have a Yetzirah or I just don't care. But Hashem, this has nothing to do with you. I am not intending to rebel. Then there's a higher level of person, l'chachis. I'm angry. I want to do something to provoke you. I want to anger you, Hashem. I want to go against your will. Okay, so there are different levels. We always say we go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. You're supposed to dunk three times. Keneged chet, pesha, and avon. Right, this is the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says there are different reasons why you go to mikvah. One of the reasons why you go to mikvah meaning teshuvah, for forgiveness. Teshuvah goes to mikvah. How many times when a person goes to mikvah because of teshuvah, how many times does he immerse? Three times, Mishnah Berurah. One is connected all of the chata'im, inadvertent sins. One is connected all of the sins that were done benezit, but were not done in spite. And the third time is connected all of the sins that were done and as an act of rebellion. When the person just goes to mikvah because he's tameh, he does not need to dunk three times. Person is tameh, so he goes to mikvah one time, he's finished. But when a person goes to mikvah because he's going there midin teshuva three times, so we here noting that in this pasuk, David over here, who's the maskil, he's only mentioning two different types of sins, a pesha and an chatoah. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the word pesha and avoin, they're interchangeable, and it depends on the context what the word pesha and chatoah means. Sometimes with Pesha can mean a sin that's done out of rebellion, and sometimes Pesha means a sin that's done b'mezid. It depends on the context. It means a sin that's done b'mezid. But what's the objective of doing the sin b'mezid? That depends. So here it is interesting that it does not mention the word avoin. So there are two different types of things that David over here is saying when it comes to his haskalah of Hashem. Number one is to be forgiven of pesha, of sins that are done b'mezid. And number two, to be kisui, the covering of inadvertent sins. Let's see the mitzvah of David, pasuk aleph.
Left that room for the special pasuk, the next block.
The next one is avon. Right? Next one is avon.
There's a contrary that there's kisui pesha and kisui pado, or maybe it's a slightly different. Rashi has an old French word for nosay. I wonder if.
Okay, we'll come to it. We didn't do it yet. We're going to come to it. We didn't do it. Let's first do the mitzvahs. We're going to come to the Rashi in one moment. Let's first do the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs
David. What's the difference between nosay and kisui?
We'll see. Let's see right now. Pasuk aleph. Maskil. Bezeh yaskil. Page 274. Maskil bezeh yaskil esa'om l'olam dam das. With this, the Mitzudois David learns the unusual word maskil in this context. David here is writing this to teach. Okay, I told you when I translated it loosely that l'David, with regard to David, maskil, a composition of enlightenment. A composition where David, he had a deep comprehension of Hashem. That's not what the Mitzudos David says. David over here is not talking about his education. David now is a teacher. He's acting as a teacher. Mayor, you're in two places. You just logged on?
No.
David over here is acting as a teacher. And what he's doing over here, you know, Mayor, if you want to poke around, I don't have time for this. If you want to poke around, Mayor, what you can do is you can take this computer every day, you can turn it on, and everyone in the shir can see who's online. So you can see each other. But not now. Maskil, David over here is saying over here, Maskil is that David over here is coming to teach. Over here, he's acting as a teacher. I want to give the Tzibur some inside information on how you can gain favor with Hashem and what your path in life should be. Bezeh, with what I'm going to relate in the following psukim, Yaskil, I will enlighten to others, Esau, the people, Lelandam, to teach them das. The word maskil in this context is a word of teaching. Nisui pesha, ashrei, praiseworthy, worthy of praise, lumi, to a person, shenimchal pishoi, whose sins that were done, b'mezid, have been forgiven, v'niskasa, chetoi, and his inadvertent sins have been covered. So obviously what it means over here is Rav Mordechai was pointing out, that a chet, he's not forgiven. Why is he not forgiven? Because he doesn't even know that he sinned. And if you don't know that you sinned, you didn't ask for forgiveness, right? You can't like fundraising. If you don't ask, you don't get. If you don't ask Hashem for forgiveness, he's not going to forgive you. Well, I can't ask Hashem for forgiveness because I don't even know what I did. It was done inadvertently. I didn't know that I was Mechal Shav. I had no idea. I had no idea that I did this. I had no idea. So I didn't know that I did this. If I didn't know that, I never asked Hashem, so I was never forgiven. So shouldn't I be concerned that when I walk down the street, a bolt of lightning may come and knock me out because I was Mechal Shabbos? No! You don't have to be worried about that. Because Hashem, in the meantime, until you discover what you've done and ask forgiveness, Hashem sweeps it under the rug. You sweep it under the rug, and therefore it's covered. But just because it's covered does not mean that it is gone. It's still there. The day will come. It's still there. And the day will come when the person will wake up and realize what he did, uncover the rug, realize, oh, I really did that Avera? Now I will do teshuva and I will completely remove this sin from the world. So Ashrei Lemi Shemichal, that's why it's called Viniskaso. It's covered. That's the law when it comes to an Asham Tolu. There's a carbon called an Asham Tolu. What's an Asham Tolu? A person did something and he has a doubt. I do not know if I did an Avera. I went to a restaurant and they served me fats. And then the balabais of the restaurant said, we want to let you know that there was a mix-up in the kitchen, in the delivery. The mashgiach comes and says, we don't know. It may very well be that the meal that you just ate was chalef. I'm the Mashkiach. And I don't know what happened. It was some mix-up. I don't know. We really, there's no way of knowing. Maybe it was chalev. Maybe it was kosher. So this fellow has to go to the Beis Hamikdash and bring a carbon. Osham toloi. If he knew for a fact that he did an Avera, he brings a carbon chatos. But he doesn't know. So what does he bring? He brings a carbon osham. Why? Because if you could only bring a carbon chatos if you're absolutely certain that you know you did an Avera. If you do not know that you did the Avera, you bring a different type of carbon. Rashi explains why. Because on the possibility that you did an Avera, you may be struck down by a bolt of lightning. So you want atonement. So let me bring my carbon chatos, just in case. No such thing.
The Yashim is brought.
What?
In both cases of there were two pieces and I don't know which I ate, or the case of I don't even know. If
that's the machlokes in the Gemara. And the whole this Masechta Krisos, all the different scenarios of Ashim Talmud. It's a very, that's the Gemara, Daf Yom, all these different scenarios, all different types. Lundis. Of chatich achas, chatichos, what's working? All the, there are many scenarios, different opinions. Machlokes, tanoim, whatever the case is. The case is you do not know. So what are you? So therefore, what's the problem? So bring a carbon misafik. There is no such thing as bringing a carbon misafik. Either you do it the right way or you don't do it. That's the argument some want to make for techeles. Unless you can tell me 100% that the murex is the real techeles. So, you don't, just like a carbon, you bring the carbon on a vada. You don't do things in Judaism, maybe. Yeah, maybe not. So, we got a problem. Because if I really did the Avera, I'm subject to punishment. So the Torah said, let me give you a temporary protection. An Osham Toli. The Osham Toli is a carbon that temporarily shelters you from punishment until you discover what really happened. If it turns out that you did not do an Avera, nothing to worry about. If it turns out that you one day discover that you did indeed eat Chelev, then you're obligated to bring the carbon Chatos. But in the meantime, I'm gonna shelter you from punishment with a special carbon called an Asham Toli. That's what it says over here. V'niskata chet'oi. A person sinned inadvertently. He doesn't even know what he did. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind, and Hashem shelters him. When he will one day discover what he really did do, then he needs to go to a higher level and actually have the sin, to atone the sin, not just to cover the sin. Kapara, by the way, means to cover. Kapara means to shelter. It doesn't mean to purge. What? The kapores is a cover. It doesn't mean to purge. A kapara is just a temporary covering, in contrast to an actual purity of chitul. Okay, they have it in this week's parasha. A person does a chait. How do you get rid of the chait? What's the word to get of purification? Chitul. We always say this. We have a word. And the word can flip 180 degrees. Yishrosh, yisharesh. Yishrosh means to take root. Yisharesh is to uproot. Chet means sin. Chitui. Chitui. Change the nikud from chet, from a tsere, to a chirik. Instead of chet, tsere, and a shva, chet, it's chitui. With chiruk, it means the removal, the purging of the chait. Kapara is a temporary covering of the chait, shoving, sweeping the chait under the rug. Chitui is to purge the chait. It's a much higher madrega to go through chitui versus kapara. Kapara is a low level atonement. Chitui is the high. This is parasha paraduma. Paraduma, it says chitui. Chitui to remove the chait. Chait brings with it contamination. The purification is to remove the source of the contamination.
Kapara doesn't work without the truth.
Kapara doesn't.
work without teshuva.
And achnai, but it doesn't go the full way.
Right, it's not going to work without.
You need to do teshuva, but even with the teshuva, it's not going to achieve the full dosage of atonement, because it's only kapar, it's not chitur. Get back to the mitzudos. Okay, in the suipash ashlo mishanim shanim chapashot b'nischase chetir l'man lo man yizocher. Now he goes, it's a little bit of a contradiction over here, that the chet is kadar, it should not be remembered. Ki bevadai also teshuva haguno, he did proper teshuva, and he has achieved over here v'nischaso chatva, this teshuva, and now the pesha has been nasui, has been carried away, it disappears, and the chet, the inadvertent sin, has been covered. It's still there, because he doesn't even know that he did it. But at least when a person does teshuva, at least a general teshuva, it covers the inadvertent chatam that he's not going to be responsible. Let's see, that's in the next passage, and then we'll come to the Rashi in a moment. Ashrei, now we come to the Avoin. Okay, who mentioned it? Mechol mentioned that we have the Avoin. Ashrei Adam lo yachshev Hashem lo Avoin. Ve'ein beruchoy remiyah. Okay, so over here there's really four categories. David is mentioning four categories. There is the Pesha, there is the Chata'a, then there is the Avoin, and then he introduces a new category that we don't hear about, that we don't have in our categorization of sin, Rimiya, deceit. Deceit, it appears to be, is the Spitz. Avoin would appear, if you want to go in order, it's not really in order, because we have Pesha, then we have Chata'a. Pesha, let's assume we've done, did it, b'mezid. And the word Avon, let's assume we did it with rebellion. And then there's Rimiya. Rimiya means the person is just a rotten person. He's just a crooked person all the way deep through and through. Let's see the mitzvah of it. Lo yachshoiv, Avon sha'asa lo yachshoiv lo Hashem. B'cheshboin ma'asav ki nimcha lo ya'ideh ha'teshuva ein berucha Rimiya. This only when the way the Mitzudas learns it is the only way a person can achieve, the only way, he is a unique translation, the only way a person can achieve that his Pesha'im are Nasui, his Chet is covered, and his Avoin is Lo Yachshoiv. Interesting, right? How are we removing these sins? Three categories of sin. One is being covered, one is being carried away. There's a moving company coming today to carry away the sins. And the Avoin ain't going nowhere. It's right front and center, it's on the bima. No one carried it away, no one covered it, but it's not part of the calculation. It's not part of Lo Yachshoiv. It's just not, we're not gonna take it into consideration. We have the evidence, Your Honor. Here is the smoking gun. What more do you want? Put the guy away. Judge says, all right, I see the smoking gun, but you know, I'm not going to add it. We're not going to enter it into the record.
Inadmissible.
Why? Why is it inadmissible? Whatever the reason is, he did teshuva. The fellow did teshuva, so we're not going to add it to the record. She'ein oisah teshuva l'ramah sabriyas, he doesn't know, she'ein oisah teshuva. Now he looks a little further. V'zeh kishe'ein b'machshavta rimiya. When does Hashem ignore the chayt, the oven, the pesha? When a person, and this is very, again, unique, how he learns the pshat in the pasuk. Navel. That's only when, kishe'ein b'machshavta rimiya, he has no deceit, his machshava, she'ein oisah teshuva l'ramah sabriyas. He's not doing teshuva to gain favor among society, ki'im, in some people, when they do teshuva, it's just for show. They don't really mean it. They're not really sorry. They know that their advisors tell them, if you want to run for office again, you gotta just play the game. A person is a criminal, he's a crook, and he gets caught. And now, does he really care? He'll do it again in a second. The only agmas nefesh that he has is that he got caught. So what does he do? He wants still to run for office. He wants something. So he goes and he hires a professional. He says, this is what you do. You go and you make a public announcement. I'm sorry for all the victims. I'm going for therapy. I'm going to go give a donation to community service. I'm going to go for therapy. Okay? I'm going to go for therapy. Look at Giuliani. I'm very shocked. Not Giuliani. I mean de Blasio. De Blasio now wants to run for office again. And he actually went, and he's so desperate. I never heard this. He apologizes to the Jewish community, the Orthodox Jewish community, for his tweet during COVID. During COVID, I don't even know the details.
It had to do with the large funeral.
That funeral. So he overreacted. He wasn't wrong, but he
singled out.
Right. He overreacted. The way he handled it, his true colors came out, and the taina that the Jewish community has is just, you know, the word, the vocabulary, and his, whatever. There was something a little bit over the top in how he reacted to our transgression. I'm not here to go tell it, none of my business. But so he went and he apologized. He apologized publicly. He apologized, why? Because he needs the vote. Now tell me, do you really think he really changes anything? I don't think so. It's just, this is what you gotta do. You gotta play the game, it's all a game. You gotta play the game.
It's rare.
So you can't, you know, an apology is an, in this day and age, an apology
but
is an apology.
It just demonstrates the desperation.
You gotta give him credit to a degree to apologize. This is Eichel Madrega. In the modern world, did you ever hear the President of the United States say, I'm sorry? Say, you know, I made a mistake. I made a mistake in this idea. Did you ever? It's almost 2 years. Did you ever once hear him say ever that what I said was not right? This idea.
Did you ever hear such a thing?
Ever? Did you ever hear a press secretary of the president say, "We made a mistake"? Never, ever did such a thing come out of the mouth. Because in the Goyishu world, that's perceived as weakness. That's perceived to be weakness, to acknowledge that you're anything less than perfect. In Judaism, it's a godless. David was attacked by Nosan HaNavi. And what did David say? The first thing, Chotasi. And that's why David is the Melech. David did much greater crimes than Shaul HaMelech.
Didn't Paul also say Chotasi?
Hashem at tzaddik v'ani v'ami har rishoim. It's a good point. You know, Paro lived. Paro, don't underestimate the koyach of what he said. Paro, everyone in Egypt was dead when the day was over. Paro lived. He survived. Not only did he survive, he went on, the Chazal say, he went on to become the king of Nineveh. And if you'll say that's impossible, but you can't ignore what Chazal say, maybe it means his descendants, his grandchildren. Obviously, there was some merit that he had. Paro, Russia, Marusha, Kolabein, Hayiloy, Hayaritash, Nichor, Russia, Marusha, Yimach, Shemov, Zechor. He has a merit. Where do you find the Zuchus? You said very good. How do you can't ignore Hashem is not Mefakech, Schar Kol Briya. He said, Hashem at Tzadik, Vani Horishoim. Torah records that. That's sacred. That's a sacred thing to say. I made a mistake. It's not, Loi Poshut Chazal dwell very much upon Shohol. The chilek between Shaul and David. Shaul was in a higher madrega than David. Shaul was mishichvay ulamala gavoa mikolam. The purity, the sanctity of Shaul was beyond. And yet Shaul was removed from office and had a very miserable end. Why? The Navi said to him, "You blew it. You made mistakes." His mistakes were minor relative to David. What did Shaul let him do? He didn't kill Agag, he didn't let him go free. Agag, he's here, you know, we got him locked up. We'll get him tomorrow. He's locked up in prison, he's in solitary confinement. Even though he did manage to father someone in the meantime. But he was in solitary confinement. He didn't wait, so Shmuel said, "Wait until I come." He didn't listen, he was under enormous pressure. David lived with an Esh Esish. David went, I mean, there's some serious stuff over here, okay? But what's the chilek? What's the chilek? David said, Chotasi. I mean, that's one in a million. One in a million to have the courage to say Chotasi. And Shmuel, I didn't sin. I did nothing wrong. Okay, go look around today in politics today. Go look around. There have been a lot of mistakes made in the last 2.5 years. And you know, the truth is, no one's really blaming anyone that much. Because no one would have done any better. When people are dying right and left in front of you and you're extremely desperate, no one's, you know, you would have done, anyone would have done any better. Well, you know, what are you supposed to do? People are dying. Everyone here knows so many people who passed away. The pachad was unbelievable. Now in hindsight, we know there were foolish things that were done. There were things that were done. Okay, you're forgiven. If you ask for forgiveness, if you're willing to acknowledge, you know, it was a pachad modest and we made mistakes. But no one is willing, no one. I've yet to hear even one politician who made
one official.
What?
One official who used to be very public in the health bureaucracy admitted they didn't know what they were based on hope rather than facts.
That woman who Trump fired.
Burks.
So she was fired because she talked one against she was whatever. Whatever. This is a very powerful, over here, in the Mitsuda Istavik.
It's amazing to see that the princess Hatati said that later on he said, Mechal Yalotu Avon.
Avon.
He made it to the Avon.
He made it to Abba Haya Madrega. He went from Chay to Avon.
That it's not only a Chay, it was more than that. But as far as right away, he said, Hatati.
Over here, look what it says over here in the Mesudas. So over here, the person, when he's doing teshuv, he's doing it for real. He's sincere. He's not doing it for politics. Because this is how you play the game. The way you play the game is, you say chotasi, oh, okay, you said chotasi, you serve your time, you sit in prison, you get a penalty, okay? Then okay, now we can go back to where we were before. He says over here, no, he does teshuvah, there's no remiah. The ain beruchah remia. Now let's see over here. Rashi pasuk al mizmar live maskil. Amr chachamim. Call mizmar shnei by maskil. Ali de turgumon amaroi. A whole new idea. The word maskil in the context of Tehillim. Is this working? The microphone is working. For some reason, phone is not working. Any mizmar that says with maskil, it means that it was said via an interpreter. Whole new world of commentary in Tehillim. Each mizmar has its unique flavor, message, composition, its poetry, its style, rhythm, meter, you name it. It's all in, and this is a whole new world of commentary in Tehillim. Any mizmar, shenem by maskil al yidei turguman amaroi, it was said via a turguman. Now what does that mean, a turguman? What does he mean by that? Because we have to keep that in mind. We're going to see over here some other mafarshim. We'll keep it in mind for a moment. Ashrei nesui pesha, she'akadosh baruch hu noisei peshayu mechasechat, v'akadosh baruch hu carries the pesha. He carries it away. U'mechasechat of what?
Forgives.
Sorry?
Forgives.
Okay, the word noisei means to carry away. Now, think about this. A mother, a baby has waste. Okay? You have a baby, a toddler, you have an infant. And the child goes to the Beis HaKisei. So what do you do? So there's waste right in front of us on the floor. Who takes it away? Who carries away the waste? This is Parash Paradum. Who carries away the waste?
Not me.
Not me. I'm not going to go take that stuff. Not me. Go call the kid's mother. Right? Go call the kid's father. Let them clean up the mess. Why? You clean up the mess. They clean up the mess every day in their house. You clean up the mess here. It's your shul. Clean up the mess. No. Not me. When a person, think about this. When the person does an avera, that's basically the equivalent of he has produced waste. He has produced a waste product in public. So who would you go call to clean up the waste? You, the one who made the garbage. You come back, a guy here leaves a bowl of cereal on the table. The janitor comes over here, comes over, you know, the bowl with the spoon and a cup, Janner comes over here at 3 o'clock in the morning and he sees the bowl and he knows, goes to the camera, he sees exactly who sat here at 10 o'clock in the morning and he finds out what their name is and he calls you up 3 o'clock in the morning, sir, you left here a bowl of cereal on the table, you come back here right now, you better be in 15 minutes in your pajamas to clean up your mess. I'm not cleaning up your mess. that doesn't happen. So what's the next best thing? Calls the rabbi. Rabbi, it's your shul, this garbage here, that's not what I was paid to do. I just come here, you know, to mop the floors. I don't come here to clean the table. That people should do on their own. Rabbi, you come here at 3 o'clock in the morning to take away the garbage. And the rabbi comes down to take away the garbage. That's exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam does. A person does an Avera. Doing an Avera is like leaving your garbage out in the street. So who do you call? You would expect to go call the person who made the garbage. You come take it away. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself carries away the garbage. In other words, Hashem, you call the guy at 3 o'clock in the morning, or the rabbi walks in, you know, you left your garbage. So the fellow says, oh, I'm so sorry. That was so irresponsible of me to leave the garbage. I'm coming right now to get it. I'm coming now in my pajamas, 3 in the morning. So the rabbi says, no, you don't have to come. The fact that you have remorse that you left your garbage here in the shul, you know what, that's all I need. I'll take away the garbage. And the rabbi now becomes the janitor and he takes the garbage out. That's exactly what it says in this pasuk. A person here does an avera, means he puts garbage in this world. And Ribbono Shel Olam calls him up and says, sir, you know, you left here some garbage. Why don't you come and take it away? So the person says, oi, I'm sorry. That was irresponsible of me. I'm coming. Hashem says, you know, don't worry. Go back to sleep. I'll take care of it. I'll take away the garbage. Isn't that what it says? Hashem carries away the sin. Hashem should touch it? Hashem should touch the dirty, filthy, dirty Avera? Hashem should deal with it? An Avera? It's so. This is the humility of Hashem. Kaviyach. Hashem desperately wants a person just to have remorse for what he does. The Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. Noisei Ovoin. The Oiver Al Pesha. Hashem himself will take away the sin. Hashem's going to touch it? We're using a language that literally means Hashem. That's not about Kovidit, to say about Hashem that he carries away the Avera. And the answer is yes. That's part of the humility of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi of you emphasizes that. Ashrei, worthy of praise, is a human being for whom Nisui Pesha SheHaKadosh Baruch Hu. He does not appoint an angel, a Shaliach. Ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy shliach, ani v'loy sodef, I said in the wrong order, ani hu v'loy acher, she HaKadosh Baruch Hu noise pishoy, and Hashem himself will mechase chato'ov. Nisui, we go to the world renowned expert, in Old French, here I'm Michal Miller.
It says,
forgive.
Pardon.
Okay, they had in the news recently. What's it called? A secret pardon? Did you hear such a thing in the news?
Presidential pardon.
What's it called?
There's a presidential pardon.
Presidential pardon. So there's this whole thing in the article. Did the president write before he left office, Trump, a pardon?
For himself?
No, I don't know. Who knows who? And it wasn't given. It was. Is there such a thing legally? Talk to the Supreme Court. Is there such a thing? What?
It wasn't public.
But it's put away in a drawer. It's legal, and you can decide later on, 2 years later. Oh, now let's give the pardon. Is there such a legal thing in the United States of America for a president of the United States to write a pardon, have it signed and authorized, but not deliver it?
Because what? Delivered.
What?
What does that mean? Delivered?
To let the people know. Announced.
No, not to deliver it. Whatever that means, that's the question. Not to deliver it. In other words, why
so
doesn't the president?
Done, but it's not
It was. You basically want to give a pardon to a person, not now. There's a lot of political fallout if you give a pardon. What?
Preemptive.
A preemptive pardon. That's what it's called.
No, you pardon a crime. They weren't convicted of a crime. They wanted a preemptive pardon.
Just that's a different case. That's a different type of thing. Just in case they'll be guilty. Okay, all these very lumdish dinim in pardons. Over here it says pardon, right? That's the French word from the word pardon. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Pardon. Okay. The law yachshev Hashem loy
avayim. I want to add something here. I mentioned before that I'm missing an aleph here. It also notes that.
Oh yeah.
Also, but he thinks that the aleph should be in there.
The Aleph, what?
The Aleph.
Yeah. Nasui, it's empty, yeah?
I think he means it's understood.
It's self-understood. Oh, right, okay. There is no Mincha Shai on this to explain the it seems that the Messiah is clear, there's no Aleph. There is not, but it's self-understood, fine. Rashi, next Rashi, V'lo Yachshev Hashem Lo Yavan, Hashem will not consider him Avayim, Uvilvad. This is what the Mitzvah David said. Shelo dehei beruchai rimiyah liyos bedaita loshuv el keoi. That he should not return to keoi means his vomit. He should not go back. It's the same idea as the Mitzvah David, provided that the teshuva is not deceitful. It's not just a political technique in order to advance. The teshuva must be sincere. Okay. Okay, now let's take a look over here at the Likutei Shas. Let's first learn over here the Radak. You know, the beginning of the Mizmar, the beginning of every single Mizmar. I've noticed this, Baruch Hashem, in the last 30 Mizmarim, all of the Yesoidos of the Mizmar is always in the very beginning, and then you know it's not so easy to find some juicy chidushin, but the beginning of the Mizmar is there. You have all the juice. So the first two psukim, look at the Radak on page 275. Radak, ledave maskil asher nisui pesha kisui chato'o kivar kosamnu bapesicha uvemizma harivii tam maskil ushor roshe hamizmoirim, the tam of maskil and the other beginning of the mizmar. So he explains over. He's not really. He's like, I already explained this. I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to go and explain to you the depth of what it means ashrei. What it means the word maskil. In the beginning, he says, I did this already in the psicha. We didn't learn the psicha. We did not learn the psicha. That is something that in Yirtz Hashem, if Hashem will allow us to finish Tehillim, in Yirtz Hashem, we're going to go do the beginning of, when we finish, halavai, we'll go back and do the psicha is word for word, because the psicha is a dynamite. And there's no way you can appreciate what it says in the psicha until after you finish.
Rabbi, you've been explaining ashrei is praiseworthy. Doesn't ashrei mean happy?
So that's a big topic. Ashrei yoshrei ve'secha od yalalucha selva. Ashrei, you're right. Ashrei yoshrei ve'secha. So that the art scroll.
Fortunate.
Okay, there are many. There are many translations. So you said happy, right? You said Ashrei is happy. That, unfortunately, has become one of the least popular translations.
Which is
Ashrei. Happy. Ashrei is happy. Why? Why is that a very unpopular translation? I don't know. But the much more popular translations is worthy of praise, fortunate. Is the person who is Yoshrei Veisach happy? What does happy mean? What exactly is the meaning of the word happy? Where does that come from, the word happy? I don't know. The first Mizmar begins with Ashrei. Remember the first Mizmar? Ashrei Ho'ish. Asher Lo'yholach Batzas Rishon. Happy. Okay, so there, what did it say over there? By going to the first Mizmar in the Mitzvah David, Ashrei Inyan Shevach. Usihila, praise, worthy of praise. Kimoki ishruni banois, my daughters have praised me. Okay, so he doesn't say happy. Sipurei tihilois. Milazu eina bol yolam. Look over here in the first mizmor. Okay, I remember you are when I was a kid. You know, in the elementary school. In elementary school, they would tell us the word Asher means happy. But when you look in the Olam of Arshim, no one really says that. It doesn't say that anywhere. Asher means Shevach. A person, Ashreinu, Matov, Chalkeinu. What does happy mean? Happy is fortune. Okay, we have to revisit that topic. Any event, he says something, go back and look at Mizmor Dalit. Let me go look at Mizmor Dalit. Mizmor Dalit, Lamasech, Mizmor Ledavid, in Radak. We see over here.
Targum says, Ashrei Tovoy.
Good. It's good for man. Good. It's good for a person. Okay, so he just briefly touched upon this in Mizmor Dalar. Remember, we learned this long Mardak. Okay, he doesn't really explain over here from the word mask. We have to come back. Okay, so let's leave that for now. Kvar kosam b'psicha b'mizmor v'i tam maskil u'sha'or roshe ha-mizmorim. Each mizmor has a different word. Okay, only thing we have so far that's concrete is what Rashi says. It was said via a miturgamon. David said it to himself, and then there was a person that was appointed to promote it, to translate it, to explain it to the tzibur, the depth of what it says over here. Now let's go further. Omar Ashrei mi shenasa hakel al pisho, worthy of praise is a person to whom Hashem has carried away his sin, v'chisa eschatosoi, b'teshuva, in response to the teshuva sheyoshev elokel, uve'oine sheyani sheyu bo'ilam hazen. This is very, very scary. That the sin is only carried away through punishment. Some people, they do not merit that their teshuva is sufficient. In addition to the teshuva, they need to be punished. There needs to be some type of punishment. Okay, this over here, Radak here, is laying out foundational principles of Judaism. These are mamish, the yesodos hadas, the foundations of the religious of the religion, is that we tend to forget this. We live in the modern world today and people don't want to hear about this. We live with really a distorted understanding of Yadus. People get the impression that if I have enough credit on my account of good deeds, I get a pass. If I gave enough tzedakah, if I did enough chesed, and I learned enough daf gemara, and I came to enough shiurim, I got credit. So what's so terrible on the way home if I stop off, no one's watching at McDonald's, and I buy, you know, a cheeseburger, what's so terrible? I got credits. And everyone can extrapolate on their level, whatever issues the person has. What's so terrible? So that's unfortunately an attitude that I think many people have, subconsciously.
I'm good.
Subconsciously, I've done mine. I'm not a malach, I'm only a human being. Every once in a while, you know, you have the Yetzirah, you gotta do a little over there, here, a little over there. As long as most of the day I'm okay. Most of the day I do Torah, I daven 2 times a day, I go to Shir, I do Tzedakah. What? That's the strategy. That, unfortunately, every person on their level has a little mashu of that attitude. That's apikorsis. And over here he lays it out. The Radak lays out, one of the reasons why Radak is so important to learn is because Radak lays out Yesodos in it's like a Ramban. People learn Ramban and Chumash. In Ramban, we don't realize how many basic principles of Judaism are found in the Ramban. And of course, Rashi goes without saying, Rashi doesn't even realize subconsciously with how Rashi teaches the pasuk. If you read the Rashi's, a person knows, can lives and breathes Chumash Rashi, he's mamish, a living Sefer Torah. You know Chumash Rashi, mamish Valpeh, and it gets to you, you mamish das Torah. You have hashkafa of the healthiest hashkafa of Torah. If you live and breathe Chumash Rashi. Rabban, same thing. Rabban in a different way, he lays out, you saw this. Radak also. Radak was in the early Rishayim, on the main Rishayim, on Tanakh, you saw this. And he says here this incredible Yisoid, which Omar Asher Misha Nosso Kel Al Peshay, Bekisa Al Chatosoy, Bat Teshuva, due to the Teshuva, Shayoshav Elokel. Or, look at these words, I think, where are you going to find words like this? Ask someone to tell you something like this, prove it to me. Look what the Radak says. The Radak is no pushover. Over Oinesh, and the reason why Hashem has carried away a person's sin is because a person received punishment. Really? What kind of punishment? He did teshuva. Over Oinesh she'yani she'yu bo'olam hazeh ki ein slichas he'avoyim. There is no such thing as slichas he'avoyim bilti Oinesh, a punishment. What's the punishment? Me'at oirav. What's ma'at? I put my hand into my pocket to take out a quarter, and what came out is a nickel. And now I have the agmas nefesh of going back into my pocket to take out a nickel. Halavai, halavai, that should be our punishment. Instead of waiting for hours and hours in the doctor's office for all these horrible things. Halavai, that should be the oinish.
Yeah? I'm not sure if this is an analogy, but you know, it's like getting time off.
Correct. Halavai, when a person, he's sitting in traffic, gridlock. So instead of cursing, instead of who knows what, and using that frustration to get into a fight with someone, you go and you take it in stride. Agmas nefesh, is sarnu. I didn't, my teshuva was not enough for my averos in order that I should merit an agmas nefesh of waiting for one red light. I have to wait 3 hours. No, it's a kapara. People say that all the time. And there's obviously a lot of truth to that. And halavai should end, that should be the end. And the person uses those moments of frustration to accept upon himself that he has done averos and he needs to do teshuva, and there is a degree of discomfort. And this discomfort is affecting his neshama. It's humbling his neshama. It's making a roshim. He's a different person. It goes a long way. Okay, chas shalom. Should I ever come to that? Chas shalom. Ulufi teshuvaso yekal oncho. According to a person's teshuva, the oinish is going to be reduced. Vihine ashrav, praiseworthy. Sheyiyeh naki me'avoyin le'olam haba. He should be cleansed from sin in the next world. Umilas nesui bo kiderech baale hahei v'chein v'nosui es. I don't know. I think it means it's a silent hey. I don't know what this means. Baale hahei. I don't know what this is. A grammatical principle that he's discussing. I don't know what this principle is. A silent hey. There's a missing aleph, right? There's supposed to be a missing aleph. So there's a missing aleph and a hey is the same. No, ne. Where is the missing hay? Over here in the Mincha Shai, he says Begaya. Begaya means, I think it means Hashra. I don't know what this means. V'chein v'nosu. V'nosu has klima some to carry away their shame. V'kof al inin v'amad. Then there's the second part of the pasuk. Ashri adam v'lo yachshav Hashem le'avon. Lo yachshev loy avoynoy limu um. Hashem does not consider his aver to be anything significant. Kiloymar shenisoy biroiso yosher levavo sheshav l'Hashem. Hashem carries away the sin when the person does teshuva. V'chol liboy v'zel she'amar ve'ein berucha rimiya ki ein teshuvasa birmirma. Already the third rishon, not the second rishon. The Mitzvah just summarized Rashi and the Radak. The third mefirash to say the same idea. When it says Rimiya, means that the teshuva is done with sincerity. It's not done just as a pretense, as a technique in order to advance. Ka'omer echeta v'oshuv. Okay, people say this all the time. I'll do it again. Oy sheyia b'machshavta sheyoshuv yechete v'omar David alatzma shahoyedoig alavoydoy v'omar ashrei mi sheyeda Okay, go to the next page, on page 277, on the top of the Radak. Sheyeda shokel nos.
By the way, I think that there is a big mistake. It's not ba'aleha hay, ba'aleha aleph. There are two hays here by mistake. Ba'aleha aleph.
What do you mean the aleph?
No, it's ba'aleha hay, just like a hay. Just like a hay. Here the aleph is missing and also. The hay is missing from a word.
Where is
hay?
After the nun. Ne, but
right. So it's missing the aleph, the no so.
Right, but over here, how do you pronounce the way, the vowels of this word? We don't say the word no so in this pasuk. We say ne sui.
Right.
So where is the hey? After the nun, After a shva, there should be like there should be a hey. Ne. After the nun, when you have two dots under the nun, a shva under the nun, how do you pronounce the nun? No. There's a hey sound. Ashrei nih sui. There's a swift, silent hey. Nih sui. So he's telling you maybe there's a doubt as to the pronunciation. Okay, we have the article put the two dots, so it's clear as day to us. So he's telling us that if you really want to pronounce it, the Radak is it, because you know, the Radak go back a couple of. Ibn Ezra.
Fourth line. The third line.
Umilas nisui pesha mi baalei ha aleph bo al derech baalei ha hei. Oy shneihem nimtzoim vehoed vino sui es kelimosam. So what is that? How does it help us? Vino. I think it's after the nun. It's either an aleph or a hei. There is a silent aleph or a silent hei after the nun. After the nun, okay? Because sometimes, you know, we know that in Hebrew, it's usually a hey at the end of a word, and Aramaic, it's usually an aleph. That's the general rule. Baalei means words. Words that are. In this context, it means words that are masters or are balabatim of the letter hey or the letter aleph. They demand. It is necessary to pad the word with the letter aleph or the letter hey, and the letter is invisible. After the nun, how do you pronounce the nun with a shva or a komatz? No automatically has a hey sound after the no. Ne sui. That's just the way you say the letter nun. You don't have a choice.
I think it means the aleph after the nun sound.
It's the next
aleph.
Word.
It's the third letter, the aleph.
But no, that's the shoreh.
The third letter. That's right.
That, yeah, but there's not.
That's but here, like balei a hay, when the third letter in the shoreh is a hay, often the hay is missing in various.
When you manipulate the vowels, the hay drops out. That's how you want to learn shot. Okay, fine.
Like the next word, he's
from the
kaf sam hay. It should be kaf sam hay is the shoreh, but the hay is missing here. It fits. So the hay is not there.
So if Kalman and Mordechai are saying is that when it says the Baalei Hay and the Baalei Aleph, it means in its original form, in the shorish of the Poal, Pei Ayin Lamed. The Lamed of Poal is the Lamed of Poal. The Lamed of the word Poal is either a hay or an aleph. And now when we manipulate the word by expressing it in a certain binyan, so then the aleph and the hey drop out. It's a baalei hay or baalei aleph in its original pure form. Nun sin aleph. Nosa to carry away. In this form, because it's samuch to the word pesha, so the form of the word is transformed from the word nosa to nisui. The hay and the aleph drop away, and we add a yud at the end. That is the grammatical rule of this particular word. So that's what it means about the aleph of kisa with a hay, and nosui is nosa with an aleph. Okay, let's go further. Finish up the Radak. The Radak over here, let's finish here on page 277 very quickly. It says over here, Shayeda Hashakel Nosavoni Vadoni Ovizal. My father. The Radak often quotes his father. Peirashunin Hazekin, Omarki Zocha Shalosh Madrego Shatadikim Hain Bohem, Vehechel Bamadrega Hatahtoin of Hun Nisui Pesha, Vushecho Tohia Sin, Vehevo, committed a crime, the other Averos, the Achaka Chosar Beshuva, Shalem of Nislach, Vinim Chaloi. That's number one. A person did Maver Bemezit and did Teshuva. Next, Kisui Chato'o. Sheyesh loy zichuyos utzdakos harbei ve'ein loy ki im chet katan ve'hu kasui ve'ein nira besuch tzid kaisav doime kimo garin doichan, a very fine kernel, a little speck of dust, a little pebble that is mixed in besuch so'oshol chitim shemiskaso hagarina bohem she'einena nira'es, it's not seen. A whole new interpretation of what it means kisui. Of Mordechai, you asked the question in the very beginning, what's the significance, why in one, when it comes to the chet, is it called kisui, covered, whereas when it comes to the pesha, it's carried away. So he's telling us that this refers to, according to the Radak's father, the Radak's father says they're referring to different individuals. We're not dealing with one person, we're dealing with three different people. The first person is the average person. The average person, he does a lot of averos, and the averos are carried away. The second pasuk, the other expression of kisui chato'a, is dealing with a very, very great tzaddik. And he has millions of mitzvahs, semais, and toivim, and there are a few minor imperfections. Those minor imperfections are not even seen. Just like if you have a very large amount of wheat, and in the wheat there's a little teeny pebble, do you even notice there's a pebble in the wheat? You don't notice, because the overwhelming majority of what you see in front of you is wheat. So you don't notice the little teeny pebble. So referring to a person who's a very, very holy tzaddik, and 99.9% of his deeds and actions are righteous, a teeny little aver that he did, it's not even noticed. It's insignificant. Lo yachsh, and then it says, then the third category. Lo yachsh v'ashem lo yavoyin, ze shlechot eklal. A third category. How many people died in this world without a chet? What did Chazal say? Four people? Six people? I don't remember. How many people died in this without doing an Aveira? David's father, Yishai, was one of them. Binyamin at Tzadik, without a chet, who else? Yishai and Binyamin's father were a handful of people. David had a son, Kolev. David HaMelech had a son. His name, I think, was Kolev, right? Kolev, he also died without a Kilov. David HaMelech had a son that did not do an Aveira. Kilov. Three. We got three: Yishai, Binyamin Atzadik, the son of Yaakov Avinu, Kilov, David Melech's son. Is another one. That's already three. Sarah. No, doesn't say about Sarah Basar. Doesn't say that about Sarah Basar. Mm-hmm. What? Amram? No, I don't remember hearing that. I don't know. But at least those three. Lo Yachshav, Lo Yashem, Avon Zesh Lechot Eklav, Afilu Lo Ola Alibay V'Zehu Ein Berucha Ribiya V'Yamar. Ki hikdim techila nisui pesha. That's how we start. We start with the person, the average person. The average person has a lot of averos, and they're noticeable because that's what he has, and therefore he needs to be forgiven. Most people in this world have a lot of averos, and it's noticeable. It needs to be removed. A beautiful drush to explain over here the three different parts of this pasuk. Three different types of what?
You said,
was the fourth. I made a mistake. Dvarim Shamarti told us, and the Amram, and he was the fourth. Amram, Binyamin Atzadik, Kilov, and Yishai. Four people who died the Etiyoy Shel Nachash. Only because the Nachash brought a curse into this world that a person has to die, but they did not have any private sin. Okay, we have a beautiful Drush. Three different types of people. The average person, the tzaddikim, that have teeny minor perfection, the last person who never even sinned. We'll stop over here, take a short break, and then we'll learn about Pala Aduma, about the tzaddikim and the baytosim and the karoim and the isim. The isim, is that how you pronounce it? The isim? The isim, the tzaddikim, the group of Jews who are bikarsim, the isim. Yeah, how do you pronounce it? Essenes.
Yes.
The Eastern?
I didn't hear. Mostly, as he said, the person who generally does mitzvah.